Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. How are you doing? Yes, a little different music today. It was requested by the head elf. Here's what happened. Santa, I'm a friend of Santa's, and I'm Mo Abdelbaki, by the way, and today is Wednesday, the 13th of December, 2023, and Santa said, Mo, could you do me a favor? And I said, of course I would do you a favor. I'd do anything for you, Santa. And he said, well, Mo, well, I'm not going to imitate his voice. He said, Mo, listen, we had a lot of problems up here at the North Pole toy making shop. Would you allow some of some of the elves to come down to the Paisley Penny Arcade and use, because you got that big old arcade there and you're not really using it right now, would you allow the elves to come in and do some work? You know, and I said, sure. Why not? I mean, they're elves. How much noise can they make? Well, you're about to find out. So, here we are. So, if you hear some noise throughout the hour, that's the elves making toys. I always thought there was going to be, you know, like little elves, and they would have little, you know, like little bells on their shoes and their hats, and it's not like that at all. I mean, they're not very big, but boy, do they make some racket. So please bear with me. I'm sorry. There's not a whole lot I can do about it, because I told Santa, and he's a friend of mine. So just bear with me. It's been like this all day, and they make the place shake, but they're making some beautiful things. So it's not too bad right now. I'm kind of looking around, but the head elf, he said, would you please not play that Penny Arcade opening theme song today? I would like something maybe just a little more elvish. So that's elvish music that I played. Again, what? Yeah, okay, I'll play it again. Here you go. I think that's, you know, that'll play. All right, fine, here. This is just for you. All right, yes, yes. Now they're all dancing. Now they're making noise, too. All right. So, how's the season treating you so far? Are you into it? What are they doing? Okay, I'm sorry. This is just the way it is. You know, I thought to myself, oh, they'd be, you know, nice little tinkling sounds. You know, maybe every now and then you'd hear a little bell. You know, oh, they made another toy and an angel got its wings. But this is what it's been. Okay, so, sorry. All day. Okay, so here we are. So how are you? How are you? The world's kind of a mess. You know, but what's new? Not a whole lot you can do about it. This is just the way it is. So we have to find our attitude in the middle of everything and kind of go from there, right? I think that's the key, you know, just kind of relax in the midst of everything, you know. I hope. Now, a week from tomorrow is the winter solstice. Now, I want to talk a little bit about sleep, because the last two nights I've had what I call sleeping like a Yule log. And what that is during this time of year, I find myself drawn into this very deep and remarkable sleep. It's just deep, 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 deep. And I think that's just part of being human. Now, I said to my wife, she said, how are you sleeping? I said, I'm sleeping deep, deep, deep. And she said, wow, me too. I wonder why. I said, well, it's because that's this time of year. This is what happens. This is because of the solstice. Most people, now some people don't, people who have a lot going on or people who just don't usually get a lot of sleep, they may not respond to it. But if you allow yourself to kind of fall into that place where you can sleep and relax and really kind of get down in there, I think that you will benefit from that. So I'm going to urge you to go ahead and try and get there. You know, just kind of, excuse me, that's, you're making a horse, a rocking horse? What are you making out of? I mean, really? Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, no, I understand. You have a quota. Okay, anyway, so... Great honk. I didn't know toys were that. Wow. Okay, anyway. Hey, gods. yeah, wow. All right, so anyway... I hope you take advantage of that. If you just think to yourself, I see, and when I go to bed at night, my head hits the pillow. I'm usually gone within about two or three. I mean, it doesn't take long for me. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, adios, you know, and I'm off riding on a comet, you know, or whatever. I go to sleep fast, and boy, do I love that sleep. But this time of year, holy mackerel, I just down and, you know. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think for a while, and that's okay. Sometimes if something's kind of weighing heavily on my mind, like my website, someone kind of got in touch with me and said, Mo, are you dead? And I was happy to answer and say, no, I am still alive, because my website had gone down on November the 22nd. And I didn't have any idea. I don't look at my own website. You know, I suppose I'm going to have to start. But the company that owns it, that owns the place where I have it, had been bought. And it has a recurring SSL and that SSL thing. And I hadn't checked up on it, and it has to be renewed, and I don't know why, and it's all technology, and I used to keep up it back when computers were green screens, and you know, oh my goodness, and it took three times of talking to people, and now it's back, and I need to change it, because I used to be part of the Mind, Body, Spirit FM thing, and, you know, they didn't want me around anymore, because I don't fit in with them, because I'm different than they are. And they figure that out. You know, wow, someone dropped a hammer, I think. But anyway, so I'm going to update it, you know. But boy, oh boy, I tell you, things are just the weirdest. Oh, things are weird. Things are weird, but I'm weird. Are you weird? Do you feel weird? We're not alone, you know. Being weird is just, whoa, my God, are those big rats or something? No, they're just the elves. The elves making the elvish things that they for Christmas, you know. So, Santa. Yeah, they've had a few problems up at the pole. Just space, you know, just space. And everything is made by hand. Well, they have like tools like drills and things like that because of time, even though they're very skilled and all that sort of thing. So I'm going to talk about a few things today. This has taken me a bit, thrown me a little bit off my proverbial game. Not like I actually have a game. Some people have games. I am not much of a game player. I used to like games when I was young. I was actually kind of competitive. Academically, I was always competitive, and then one day I just said, why? Why? I just couldn't be competitive anymore, you know? And that kind of ruined things for other people, especially my mom, when she said, why don't you have, like, the best grades in the class? And I said, because I don't care about that. And that's a strange thing. Think about competition. Competition is one of those things in our society that we are urged to be a part of. You got to be the best. You've got to be number one. You've got to be right up there and the very best. You have to be the ultra, super, gigantic best. And maybe you can be, but what if you don't really care about being the best? What if that's not the most? What if you just want to be happy? What if you just want to be okay, you know? You just want to be best at what you like to do. And if you work hard at something, you're going to be pretty good. Let me talk about Jerry Garcia for a minute, if you don't know who Jerry was. Jerry was the guitarist for the Grateful Dead. And Jerry liked to play the guitar. And he started out playing the guitar and the banjo. He was a bluegrass fan. And he played bluegrass, you know, started out playing in a jug band, what they called a jug band, which is a bluegrass band, you know. And he started out in the late 50s, early 60s. He was kind of a beatnik sort of fellow, you know. And he liked to play, and he liked to play well, and he would practice quite a bit, a lot of the time. He would practice a lot of the time. And it was that he enjoyed playing. He enjoyed playing a lot. And he just liked to play, you know? And it wasn't that he was fascinated with the instruments as much as he realized that he just wanted to be a good player. Now, there's a lot to be said for that. I'm someone who has a lot of musical instruments that I don't play very many of them well. And it's not about competition, you know? But I like the instruments. I have flutes and I have, you know, clarinet that I played in high school that I haven't pibbled it out in a long time. Probably has disease all over it because it's been sitting in a box for so long and a grudge against me. But I used to have a coronet that I'd pull out and play every now and then, much to the chagrin of the Western civilization, you know. But I've got an accordion, which is probably going to land me in purgatory, you know. And I've got a concertina, which I play relatively well, you know. And ukulele, which I used to play all the time. I just, yeah. And so you've got all these things, and you play them, and you do okay. I yodel. Okay, you know, we just have these things. I say you know too much, but then you know that. And it's not about competition. It's saying I like to experience all these different things. I've got a harmonica right here. I've got a harmonica right here. And luckily for you, I'm not going to pick it up. Because I promised Santa I wouldn't irritate his elves while they were here working. I think maybe they're done. I guess not. So, anyway, Jerry was not about competition at all. He was very laid back, you know. And he just loved play. So eventually he became a hippie at the very beginning of the movement. And you know, he got involved in all of that, and he was at Haight-Ashbury when it happened, and instead of going out and frolicking with people on the street and all that stuff, he practiced, and practiced more, and practiced more, and the Grateful Dead, the Warlocks, they were called, they became the Grateful Dead, and the Grateful Dead became very popular, and they traveled all over California, and then they traveled all over the world, and instead of going out and doing what people do who are in rock bands, he'd sit in his hotel room and he'd practice. He was an introvert. And when he got out on the stage, he would do these incredible solos because he knew that instrument, that guitar, as well as he knew anything in the world. It was a part of him. And so it wasn't about competition. It was about something had become a part of him. That must be a train he's making, full size, I'm guessing. And it was one of those things that was just unbelievable. Competition is kind of... Kids love to be competitive when they play ball, when they... I mean, kids are just kind of naturally competitive. That's just the way it goes. I was when I was a kid, but at a certain point I said, man, who cares about coming in first? I just want to come in. I just want to be a part of what makes me happy. I want to be a part of whatever it is that I'm doing. I just enjoy life. And when it comes to the holidays, I've noticed that there are a lot of families that are really competitive. You know? You've seen it. Maybe you have it in your family as well. Families can be terribly competitive. It's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? Terribly competitive families. Wow. Wowie. That's a lot of banging. Maybe I shouldn't have said Santa, but you can't turn Santa down, can you? Let's talk about Santa a little bit. I believe that there is magic in the concept of Santa. Now, I have a friend who this last year grew a beard, and it came in snow white. Beautiful beard, and he takes very good care of it. He oils it, you know. Mine is permalubed. I don't ever have to do anything to it. I grew mine as soon as I could. I actually started shaving when I was 15 years old, not because I needed to, but because I wanted a beard. As a matter of fact, I didn't need to shave yet. I had a little one of those little weird mustaches that kids get, you know, when they start to come into puberty. Not all kids, but boys often do. And so I started to, I'd sneak into my parents' bathroom, and I'd take my dad's razor, and I'd, you know, shave. And then I'd shave my mustache. And then I'd shave my face, and I'd cut myself. And I'd cut myself two or three times, you know. And then I would use aftershave and splash my face. And it just hurt like the Dickens, Charles Dickens, Christmas Carol. And I'd reek to high heaven, and I'd go out, and I'd be bleeding. And my mom would say, what are you doing? And I'd say, I had to shave. She said, why? I said, because I want a beard. And she'd say, you're not going to grow a beard. I'd say, watch me. Yeah, that didn't go over well. And finally, and he had an electric razor, and I started using that. So he bought me my own electric razor. Said, don't use my razor anymore. You use yours. And then he started using my razor because it was better than his. And so I really wanted a beard. And because I loved beards, because Sebastian Cabot had a beard, and I thought his beard was great, and because Santa Claus had a beard, and I liked Santa Claus, and because it just seemed like, and because hippies had beards, and I was, you know, mentally, I was a hippie. And so I thought, I'm going to grow this beard. And so I used that razor just about every day, even though I didn't need to. And I, you know, it's no wonder I shaved my beard once. I started actually growing it as soon as I could. We couldn't have beards in high school. Very conservative high school. I won't say the word fascist, but if someone were to say, did you go to a fascist high school? I wouldn't, they weren't fascist. There were something, but maybe not fascist. Now, were they fascist? Yes. But anyway, so I'll tell you stories someday. They did things that I think were pretty rough, but that's a difference. It was a different time. It was a different time, late 60s, early 70s. You know, they were trying to keep their thumbs directly upon us to make sure that we didn't do anything they didn't want us to do. But we did them anyway. Boy, did we ever do them. And so it was one of those things. Oh, you know, if you want to come in, just come in and talk to me. Or, oh, no, you're making something. Okay. That's that. Yes. I'm sure it's very beautiful. So the beard came in, and I never didn't cut it for forever. And then one day I couldn't remember if I had a cleft in my chin or not. My dad had quite a cleft in his chin, and I couldn't remember, did I have a cleft? And to me, it was kind of important to know. I thought, well, do I have a cleft? And so I shaved for one day, and I was horrified at what I saw. Horrified. Because I hadn't seen my face in over 30 years. And so I decided to go ahead and grow it again. I ran into my kids. Well, we had lunch. And they didn't know me. They walked right by me. Now, my granddaughter knew who I was. So beards, big deal, you know. And I grew it back because I was just horrified, you know. And so my friend grew this beard. He grew this beard. Snow white, beautiful, big mustache, you know. And I called him up and I said, well, get ready. He said, what for? I said, for what's about to happen to you. And he said, why? What's about to happen to me? I said, you're going to notice how kids and other people react to you. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, Santa Claus. He said, it's already happened. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, he was standing somewhere in a convenience store getting gas, you know, and some guy walked in as a delivery person, said, hi, Santa. And he said, I was so offended. I said, offended? Holy mackerel. Don't be offended by that. That is the greatest compliment you could ever be paid. He said, why? I said, because Santa is the greatest guy there is. He's kind. He's wonderful. He's giving. He's jolly. He's helpful. He's the hero of every story, you know. And he said, oh. I said, now wait, I want you just to keep an eye open. And at the end of the season, we'll talk about it. And you tell me how it went. So I'm really anxious to talk to him. Santa is magic. Santa is someone who exists. And maybe they're, you know, oh God, did I almost say something I shouldn't have said? The place is full of elves. Maybe, you know, Santa's real, energetically, emotionally, spiritually. I gotta tell you what, my grandkids believe. They've got those elves on the shelves, and they have names, and you can't touch them. And if something happens, you know, it's a calamity. It's an absolute calamity. A couple of years ago, one of them fell. It was precariously balanced somewhere, and it fell. And so my son went over and picked it up. And when he did that, well, it was you're not supposed to touch them ever. Don't ever touch the elf. If you touch the elf, oh no, you know. And it was this horrible thing, and you have to cleanse them and, you know, burn them on a pyre. No, that's not it. That's something else. And it was a huge, huge, big deal. And you had to write a letter, and the letter had to be postmarked no later than, and it has to go all the way. And because what they are is they're snitches. They're narcs. They relay every day to Santa everything you've done, you know, and there are some hilarious things that people do to these things on the internet, but some of them are just really horrible. You don't want your kids to see them, but I hate them. I actually did a drawing of my own type of elf, my own version of an elf, and it's terrible. He's holding a knife, you know, and he looks very evil, but it's funny. I mean, I liked it. So other people liked it, too, that saw it. But that's a different story, and I didn't make it too public because I don't like, you know, problems. But and I didn't let my grandkids see it at all. So there you go. That's a little myth I don't enjoy. And it's a money-making venture. They sold, you know, hundreds of tens of these, probably billions and thousands of hundreds and 11-20 of them. And there's a TV show about it, and they have names, and it's like, what is this? Why do we need to incite Not incite. Why do we have to? It's extortion is what it is. You're extorting kids to be nice. Do you have to do that? I mean, kids are kind of rotten anyway, you know? They're working on trying to be nice, but it's hard for them because it's a difficult thing to be good. Being good is not an easy thing. I mean, being good is not simple. And so they're going to err in their ways. My goodness, I sure did. And I was a relatively good kid. I tried. Honest to goodness, I really tried. But Santa is the magic itself. And the concept of that magic is as old as we are. It's the magic of the Yule. You know, it's really very important, this idea of, I have played Santa numerous times in my life, having a big bushy beard, and I used to have long, you know, long hair. That's been trimmed. I mean, it was hard to take care of because it's real curly, and, you know, you drag a comb through and it rips that out by the handful, and I kind of got talked into keeping it shorter. It's pretty long now. It gets long, and then we kind of just chop off the ponytail, you know. But for years and years, it was long, and it's a long story. You know, what can I say? Hippie, you know, it's just there. And at any rate, so I played Santa, and in the beginning, I had to wear a false beard because I was in the third grade. What is that? 9 years old. That was the first time I played Santa. And they had me do it for the younger kids, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, and the third graders. And they knew it was me. But even though they knew it was me, I would give these candy canes to the kids. Yeah, and it was a big thing in the gymnasium, and it was singing Christmas songs, and they had me come out in this little tiny Santa, not tiny, it was a little tiny, you know, in a Santa Claus suit, and I didn't have to wear pillows, and I ho-ho-hoed, and the kindergartners, their eyes were big and wide, and I thought, for sure, they know I'm not Santa, and even though they knew I wasn't Santa, there was a reverence there, and there was a joy there, and their eyes got real big, and I'd give them candy canes, and they said, "Hi, Santa," and there is this level where we just open up and say, "Look at this guy. Look at this guy," and this little kid looked at me and said, "I love you, Santa." And I knew the kid's name from the playground, because you get to know people's names and stuff. You know, and I said, "I love you too." And the kid was happy. And I thought, man, I love this. I loved it. And I gave my friends extra candy canes, you know. And it was wonderful. It was at the age of 9, I found this little thing that I loved to do, that I could do. The next time I played Santa, I was in the sixth grade. It was, grade school, we had a play, and it was the night before Christmas. They've turned it into a song. I'm surprised they haven't made a Broadway musical out of it, and then a movie, you know. But, I played Santa, and I had to come down a chimney, you know, so I had to, it was a chair, and then there was a chimney, and they made out of paper, you know, and all that stuff, and I had to jump, and I almost knocked the chimney over. I'll never forget that. It was such fun, and I just got to play Santa, and as Chinese, you know, Santa, and, you know, in Clement Moore's Night Before Christmas, Santa is an elf. He's tiny. And his sleigh is tiny, and the reindeer are tiny. Not me. I wasn't tiny in the sixth grade. I probably weighed about 150 pounds in the sixth grade. And your regular sixth grader doesn't weigh that much. But, you know, I was a rotund little boy because of all that wonderful Egyptian food I was eating. And some emotional problems, I'm sure. But I loved it. It was such fun. Oh, I got to tell you. So this, after that was done, I, you know, I had a tie on underneath all that Santa stuff, and we sang Three Kings, We Three Kings, you know, and they gave me the line about, you know, lying in the tomb, and I had a solo, you know, and so we're standing up there, and I'm 12 years old, sixth grade, and I I was supposed to wear a red tie. And the only red tie my dad had was this tie that I didn't know. I didn't know about this tie. But I said, can I wear this red tie? And he said, sure, you can wear that tie. And I'm supposed to wear a red tie. And he said, sure, you can wear the red tie. So I'm wearing this red tie, and I'm back in with the rest of the, you know, the sixth grade choir, my class, and we're singing We Three Kings. And I'm in front of the whole school and all the parents. And I'm a fidgeter. For example, right now I have my mala and I'm fidgeting with the beads, and I always have something I'm fidgeting with. And I was fidgeting with the tie, and I was just fidgeting, and I just had turned the flap of the tie inside out and was just messing around with the tie while I was singing. And I noticed the audience begins to, their eyes get real big. And they're real big, and they're kind of glassy. They're big and glassy. And I'm like, what are they so glassy and big about, you know? And then they start laughing. And they're laughing and laughing and laughing. And they're looking at the tie, and I turn and look at the tie, and there's a painted woman on the back of the tie. And my dad is looking down with his head in his hand, you know, and my mother is bright red, and she's, you know, waving at me to put the tie away, put the tie, and I immediately put the tie down. She wasn't naked. She was in a bathing suit, you know. It was a novelty tie that someone had given my dad as a gag gift, because he wore a tie every day. He was a professor, and he wore a tie every day and a suit every day, and it was a gag, and he forgot. So here I am. Anyway, Christmas, you know, Christmas 1966. So, yeah, loss of innocence right there, right? And boy, they gave me such, and the principal was delighted. He came up, he patted me on the back, said, can I see that tie? I looked at the tie and said, wow, you know, and he gave my dad a ton of the business after that, you know, like, ha, 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 about the tie. And my dad said, I'm sorry, I forgot, I'm very sorry. He said, don't worry about it, you know, it wasn't one of those ties. But that was Christmas, and it was just fun. But anyway, so I started playing Santa, and I played Santa quite a few times. And maybe they're making those, oh, there's a saw. Okay, I don't know if you can hear that. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's making one of those things for magicians where they saw a woman in half. That's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what he's making. He's trying it out on another elf. Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that. It's really loud. I don't hear any screaming. Wow. No screaming, so it's a trick that works. Yeah. Maybe I'm hallucinating, and you're actually hearing my hallucinations. Could that be? I'm having a flashback? Great honk. Man, you'd think elves would have little tiny... Woo-wee! All right, back to it. So... magical things. What is so magic about, you know, St. Nicholas, Turkish, you know, saint. I think he's an official saint, but he supposedly restored three young children who were dismembered and brined by a butcher because there was a shortage of pork. And he, you know, that guy didn't, what a louse, you know. And he brought these children back to life. God, I hope that's just a story. Woo-wee. That's pretty amazing. So, I'm going to carry on. I told Santa the elves could do what they're doing, okay? I'm sorry. This is just how it goes sometimes in life. I mean, what are you going to do? You know? There's not a whole lot you can do. So, lady said, I've got a gig. Do you want to be Santa? I said, sure. You know, it's a big, huge company. Big, huge company. Doesn't matter what it was. And it paid. For me, it was huge money at the time. Now I realize I'm a doormat. You know, I don't get paid well when I do things. certainly not that night. But there is a magic that happens when you put on the suit. So she said, here's the suit. You may have to pad it. I put it on. I didn't need any padding at all. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit tight. So, and it looked great. It looked great on me. It was a nice suit. And she said, here, try on this beard. And I put on the beard and it smelled horrible. Well, that's just because it's been worn by other people and their breath. And, you know, so you just say, no, I'll go with the original. But I had a jet black beard. So she said, what are you going to do? I said, white shoe polish, which I heard always worked. It took two or three bottles of white shoe polish. I put that on, and I put on the hat, you know, I wore a wig, and I looked fantastic. I was Santa, especially with the real beard, which was very stiff. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, at the time, I was driving a red 62 Chevy pickup truck that I'd bought from a friend. It was a piece of junk, but I loved that truck. The brakes gave out all the time. Things went wrong with it all the time. So I had to drive all the way to the other side of town. I did that, and it was just a massive party, And I know they were paying a lot more than I was getting paid per hour, but she was an agent, and that's what agents do. So I was sitting there, and I'm a pipe person. When I used to work a gig, I'm retired from that. When I used to work a gig, because I used to do cards and tarot, I mean, you know, and palmistry and all sorts of things when I did gigs. So when I do a gig, that's what I do. I'm working, I work. I don't do anything, maybe have a cup of coffee or something like that, but I work. And that's why I'm there. And I worked. I worked hard. And I let adults sit on my lap, you know, and I let kids sit on my lap, and, you know, kids with diapers. And I mean, it was just like, oh, my God. But person after person after person after person after person. And I said, wow, this is all right. And people, they were having pictures taken with me, that sort of thing. And it was fun. People were getting drunk. And, you know, that's not always so cool, but it was okay. And then I saw a kid and his mother. And I've told this story before, so if I've told you this story before, bear with me. And those of you who haven't heard it, this is an amazing story. This is the magic of being Santa. This is one of the most magical stories I know, and it's true, and it happened to me. And it happened in a Santa suit. Something magical always happens when I wear a Santa suit. So there I was. Sitting there, and I'd been doing this for a while, and there's this boy, and he's about 11 or 12 years old, and there's his mother, and I knew her. I knew her well. She didn't recognize me because I was Santa Claus. And he looked like he didn't really want to come over because he's 11 or 12, and he's too old for it. And she says, oh, go on, sit on Santa's lap. Tell him what you want. And he's shaking his head. She says, tell him what you want. I can hear her. Tell him what you want. And I knew what he wanted. I knew for sure what he wanted. I knew what he wanted more than anything else. I knew what that boy wanted more than anything else in the world. Because I knew his dad. His mom and his dad had been friends of mine back a long time before. In college, I knew his dad. And his dad was a real good friend of mine, And time goes on, and his dad moved away, but his mom and his dad got divorced. And his mom and his dad got divorced shortly after the young boy was born. And it was acrimonious, to say the very least, and she got sole custody. And the father was a genius. Brilliant, brilliant guy. Literally a nuclear physicist. One of the smartest guys and one of the sweetest guys I ever knew. But they didn't get along. And so, consequently, he moved away to the other side of the country to go to work for people to do top secret work on nuclear stuff. And she did not allow him any contact. And he begrudgingly agreed to that. But there are circumstances I don't need to get into. He was not violent. He was not. But it was just that type of relationship. And the lady had remarried. And I knew the kid's name. Right? I'll call him Henry. So the kid came. And he sat on my lap. I said, "Hi, Henry. How are you?" And boy, his eyes like saucers they were. He said, "How do you know my name?" I said, "I'm Santa Claus. I know everything." He said, "You don't know everything." I said, "Sure I do." He said, "Then what do I want to know?" I said, "You want to know about your real father." I thought he was going to, you know, I was afraid he was going to have a fit or something. And he said, "How can you know that?" I said, "Because I know your dad," which was the truth. He said, "Do you know my dad? Then what's his name?" I told him his whole name. First, middle, last name. I said, "I know your grandfather, too." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Your grandfather's kind of a nut, but I know your dad. I know him well. I'm Santa Claus. I know everybody." And he said, "Can you tell me about him?" And so I did. I told him about him. And I told him the truth. And it was one of the most amazing moments of my life, because in that time, and I didn't sugarcoat anything, but I didn't tell him too much, you know. I knew it was weird. It was like I knew exactly what to say. It was perfect. And I didn't take too long, and I didn't cut it. It was just perfect. It was magic. And he just looked at me. And he knew that I was a guy in a suit with you know, shoe polish in my beard. But he also knew that something amazing had happened. And he got kind of teary, you know, and he said, "Thank you. You've given me an amazing gift." I said, "Thank you." I said, "You've given me a gift too." And he got up and he left. And after about 20 minutes... I was still working, and he and his mom came back, and she just looked at me and looked at me, and she could not make me at all. She had no idea what was going on. She couldn't figure it out. And that was a miracle, too. That was an incredible miracle. She couldn't figure it out at all, because she just looked so puzzled, and then she walked away. Now, that was something. I was able to give him something that was just amazing. And years and years and years and years later, I was able to tell his father that story. And he said, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense." Because he pressed a couple years later to get to know his father, and they became very good friends. And they're good friends today. So it's amazing what happens when you wear the suit. Now, another story about the suit. This one's very different. I put the suit on, and I was told, "Okay, we got a job for you," you know. So I had to put gas in the car, and I went to this place, and I'm pumping gas in my red 62 Chevy pickup truck, and I'm wearing the Santa Claus suit, and people are laughing, you know. It was funny, I guess, but so I went, and the place was kind of in an area known as the Park Hill area of Denver, you know, and it was an old mortuary, big old mortuary, that had been renovated and turned into a party place, and it was a party, holiday party for a law firm. Now, I didn't really know what this was all about. They just said, "It's a party for adults, go." So I said, "Fine." So I go, and they have this big chair set up for me so people can sit on my lap. Adults, mind you. And so all night long, and people were about three sheets to the wind, I showed up when I was supposed to. I'm always early. And sat down, and they're sitting there, and these young ladies who are, you know, paralegals and secretaries and some lawyers, and they're sitting there, and they're making the lewdest, rudest advances to Santa Claus you can imagine. And I'm watching. Now, Here's a hint to those of you who may be tarot readers, psychics, astrologers, palmists, who do work in these types of parties. You go and you do a party and you sit down, you've got a table, whatever, and people come and sit down. Just watch the room. Don't take a book and sit there and, you know, dum-de-dum-de-dum, you know. Don't mingle around and eat or anything. You just sit down and watch the room. Because, and this isn't a cold reading thing or anything, but if you watch the room, you're going to learn a lot. And it can come in handy. You know, I was at one gig once, and I was watching, and I could see very plainly that there was a man and his wife, and the guy could not take his eyes off of a woman who was flirting shamelessly with everyone else in the room. This was a high-priced party, and I don't mean I was getting paid a lot, but the people there were very high-priced people. They were like, you know, millionaires and the people who worked for millionaires. And I could see that the lady that he was staring at was gorgeous, and what she kept looking back at him like, look at what I'm doing. And I could see right away that they were having an affair. And so the guy, when he got to me, he absolutely gave me a ton of trouble. And I mean a ton of trouble, because he didn't believe in what I was doing. And I got a card, and the card was just saying, you know, this guy needs to be put in his place because he is talking about you. And Mo, he is just a jerk, you know. Cut him down a notch. And I said to him, look, pal, I said, I know you don't believe in what I'm doing, and I know that you think I'm some sort of charlatan, but let me tell you what. I'm not going to tell your wife that you're having an affair with that pretty redhead. All you have to do is just stop giving me a hard time, and I'll put that to rest. And I thought he was going to drop his teeth right there on the table. Just they would come flying out of his mouth and just lay there on the table. And he said, how do you know that? I said, are you kidding me? You're telegraphing it throughout the entire hall. You don't need me, a psychic, to tell you that. Just cool it, man. I said, don't give me a hard time. I said, I know more about you than you know about you. Okay? And he got up, walked away. Tipped me, by the way, later. I thought, oh, this man's used to giving people money to keep them quiet. I thought, wow. And she came and sat down, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, but he is never going to leave him, his wife, for you. And she said, are you sure? I said, look at him. He loves his stuff. He is not going to give up half of his stuff for anybody. And she said, I was afraid of that. And it was true. He was still with her because I got to know a few people. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Different story. Boy, the book I could write, the book I should write, the book that, it's past. It's in the past. Anyway, so I'm in this place, and this lady says to me, she puts her lips against my ear, and then she nibbles my earlobe. And I'm thinking, lady, If you scrape your lips against my beard, you're probably going to get it cut because of the baby shoe polish, you know, baby polish. And she says, I've always had a real thing for Santa Claus. I said, excuse me, you know. She said, I want a Jetta for Christmas. Can you give me that? I said, I didn't know what a Jetta was. I thought she was talking like Return of the Jedi or something. I said, do you mean you want a lightsaber? She said, what are you talking about? Anyway, so she said, I went upstairs and looked around. There's a room that has a really interesting table in it. Do you think you want to go up there and fool around? I said, I'm Santa Claus. Santa doesn't fool around. I said, a table? It's a metal table. I said, this used to be a mortuary. She said, don't worry. There'll be nothing dead there. And I thought, oh, God, stop it. I said, just stop it. I'm sure there are plenty of people. And I was so, it was just that, it was like that the entire night. And people got just knee-walking drunk. And as soon as my time was up, I was out of there. They wanted me to stay longer. And I thought, if I stay longer, I'm going to be devoured by lions or something. So up and out. So I left. And I got in my red pickup truck. And I'm driving home. And it's by this time, it was midnight. because I was scheduled to be there from 7 to midnight. And I did my time. Trust me, I did my time. And I'm driving home, and the 62 Chevy pickup truck, you know, and I'm listening to music. And the only music on is, like, you know, Rock Around the Christmas Tree and that sort of thing. And it just stops. And I'm like, oh, no. I mean, the lights go out, the radio stops, and those cars were pretty simple. And I know nothing about any mechanics or anything else, you know, and it just stops. And I thought, oh, drat. That's not what I said, but I said, Godfrey Daniels, you know. And I oh, no. So I just stop. Try to start it up, nothing. No clicking, no nothing. I thought, oh, something electrical. And I get out, and I go around to the front, and I open it up, you know, in the hood, and I'm looking, and I might as well be looking at mattresses, because I have no idea what I'm looking at. And I thought, oh, come on. And I'm still Santa. And I, oh, what am I going to do? So I try and push it and jump in, and you know, I got it going. I was young and strong, you know, younger, and not as weak as I am now, I guess. I'm still pretty strong. I'm surprised at this age. But jump in and try and pop the clutch, nothing. It is, as Scrooge says, dead as a doornail. And just like Jacob Marley, tuppence is tuppence. I didn't even have tuppence on me. I was totally broke, except for a check that I'd gotten that is, you know, worthless at that time of night. And these two cops in a cop car, they come by and they said, "Hey, Santa." I said, "Oh, thank goodness. Hi, guys. How are you?" And they said, "Looks like we're better than you." I said, "Hey, I could sure use some help. This truck just stopped." They said, "Well, where's your reindeer?" I said, "Underneath the hood." "Ha, ha, ha. That's ho, 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 isn't it?" You know, that sort of. They were just a riot. And I said, "I could really use some help here. It's not working. I live on the other side of town." And they said, "Oh, okay. Well, good luck with that." And I said, "Wait a minute. You're not going to help me? Not our job. Not our job. Hey, good luck. Merry Christmas." And they just drive away. And I yelled out as loud as I could, "You guys are getting coal." They come to a screeching halt. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to jail. And I thought, this is terrible. Backup lights go on. And then they just put it in gear, laughing, hysterical laughing, waving out of both sides of the windows. And away they went. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So I get back in the truck, because I was out of the truck. Get back in the truck, and I just sit there. And I think, what is this? And suddenly, boom, the car starts up, the truck. It just starts magically. And I thought, what has this happened? It just started up. And I just immediately drove home. It got me home. I turned it off, and it didn't drive again. It just didn't drive again, ever. That's the magic of the Santa suit. Something has always magically happened wearing the suit. There is magic in Santa Claus. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in Santa to this day. The elves are done. That's the magic of the suit. All right, we've got one more show before we take a 2-week break. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I know it's not easy. This isn't an easy time in the world. But you know what? We're friends. I'm a goofy friend to have, but I am your friend. You can write to me at moabdolbaki.com. There's a form there. I'm not doing readings, not taking new clients. I'm retiring. Kind of getting out of new people, meeting new people. For a while, my hearing is bad. Next week, I go to see about hearing aids. That's life. That's getting older. That's punk rock and heavy metal. And
loud music. That's love. I love you. Believe. Trust. Until next week, I wish you peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think, just a moment ago, I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular time of year to be there.